You're listening to the Emotional Abuse Recovery Podcast, episode number 4. In today's episode, I will be interviewing subconscious reprogramming expert, ThoughtWork coach, CEO of the ThoughtWork Institute, and creator of the tool that is changing lives, Diana Johnson. We dive into how her unique and results-driven methodology works and why it's so transformational. Diana gives us so much insight and revelations in this episode, revealing just how amazing the subconscious mind is and how we can use it to our greatest advantage. Plus, she shares her own story of transformation and how her work has led to where she is today, expanding the reach to people all over the world for their own healing journeys. This episode will unravel so many answers you might have had about your own subconscious mind. So stay tuned because you're not going to want to miss this. Welcome to the Emotional Abuse Recovery Podcast, a podcast specifically designed to help you heal after a toxic or narcissistic relationship. This podcast teaches you to use your subconscious mind to go from feeling stuck to set free. In here, you will learn how to use the power of your own mind to free yourself from emotional pain, move forward with confidence, and experience the inner peace you deserve in your healing journey after emotional abuse. I'm your host and subconscious reprogramming coach, Allison Dagny. So let's get started. Hi, everyone. Today on the podcast, we have a very special guest, Diana Johnson. I know Diana from the ThoughtWork Institute, where I've learned everything I know about the subconscious mind. But Diana, I'd love for you to introduce yourself and tell our listeners all about you.
Sure. Like you said, my name is Diana Johnson. And first, I just wanted to say thank you for having me on the podcast. I'm really excited to talk about rapid reprogramming. As you already know, I love to talk about rapid reprogramming and any opportunity that I can have to share it with the world, I love. So to answer your question, who am I and what do? I am CEO and founder of the ThoughtWork Institute, as well as creator of the rapid reprogramming methodology. And currently, I do subconscious healing for coaches in order to help them reach their level of success, as well as I certify other coaches in the rapid reprogramming methodology.
Wow, that's amazing. And it's a lot. And I am just so inspired by you and all of the work that you do. And I know a little bit about your story. I know just some things that I've listened to on your podcast and things that you and I have talked about, but I would really love, the first thing I want to do, because I have so many questions, is for you to share a little bit about what originally inspired you and on this journey to become a coach and how that evolved into all of these, this multitude of things that you do now.
Sure. So a couple of things inspired me, but I'll try to keep it short and sweet.
Yeah.
To really answer in a very frank way, what inspired me was my own journey of transformation. And I had gone through a very difficult time in my life when I got divorced. It triggered all of my old childhood stuff. More than the divorce triggered the pain, it was all the childhood stuff that really came to the surface that I had to deal with that really was based on my programming. And during that time, there was this pivotal moment that I'm sure you've heard about that I do want to share because I think your listeners would really appreciate this, especially if they're going through something and hope is something that would be really important to them. I think hope is an incredibly important emotion to have during a difficult time. So in that period of my life, when I was going through, I call it the dark night of the soul, mm-hmm. and I had asked for a sign from the universe that I would be okay. And I didn't get it the first day. And then the second, and I panicked when I didn't get it. I thought, oh my God, I'm not going to be okay. The sign that I had asked for was I wanted to see an elephant. Now, I live on the East Coast of Canada. There are no elephants on this island. If I saw one, or if I, you know, saw one in any capacity, I would know that this was my sign that I was going to be okay. So anyway, long story short, I didn't get it for 2 days. And then my cousin and I went to lunch. She didn't know that I had asked for a sign. She didn't even know that I was going through my own personal, I don't know if you can swear on your podcast, but H-E-L-L. And so she didn't know any of that story. But after we finished lunch, she said, let's go in this direct, or she said, let's go this way. And she pointed through this alleyway that wasn't in the direction of our house, my house. not even in the direction that I had ever gone before. So I'm like, yeah, sure, I don't mind. I was kind of in that fog and I would just say yes to anything. So when I walked through the alleyway and got to the end, all throughout the pavement, everywhere were colored elephants painted all over the driveway, and it led into this store. And when you go into the store, or when we went into the store, there were elephants everywhere. So of course I bought a couple and I started crying, and my cousin is like, why are you crying? And I'm like, then I had to tell her the story. And I just knew in that moment that I would be okay. So this was what had triggered me to stop being a victim, to really take responsibility, because I had this inner strength and this knowing at that point that it was going to be okay. It was just going to take more from me than I had ever done in the past. So just a little bit of background, before I got to that moment, my entire life had been ebbs and flows of anxiety and sadness and feelings of unworthiness because of my childhood and then my marriage. And I thought I was destined to always be that type of person, quote unquote, that I would always be anxious, that I would always be in the ebbs and flows of anxiety and sadness. And I didn't know there was another option. And that sign just allowed me to open to the possibility that there was another option. So that weekend, I went into the bookstore and I said, show me what I need to see. And I immediately found some really pivotal books on the subconscious mind and the mind, and I devoured everything that I could find. And then also that weekend, which is pretty incredible, my sister, not knowing this whole story and what was happening, gave me a gold, I still remember it was a gold bookmark with a red ribbon, and the gold, it was like metal, with an engraving of the words, with your thoughts, you create the world, and it was by Buddha. Yeah. So I was like, oh my God, this is so strange. And of course, there's so many stories I could tell you about how this all unfolded. So I started doing this work. I started questioning everything that was in my mind. I know I'm really cutting the story short, but long story short, within a matter of 3 months, not only was I feeling better from my current circumstance at the time, but more at peace than I ever had in my entire life. Wow. So when you ask what inspired this journey was my own transformation. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes I say, I became a completely different person, but in reality, and I know what I'm going to say right now, I became the person that I was born as before the programming, before life happened, that told me I wasn't good enough, and that life wasn't safe and it was scary, and all of the things that were triggered in me that created the sadness and anxiety. I returned to the person who had that natural state, like we all do. So if anyone's listening, your natural state mm-hmm. is peace and contentment. And what gets in the way is that programming. And when you release that programming, you return. Like my podcast used to be called, when I worked with divorced women and did life coaching using rapid reprogramming, it was called Return to You, for that very reason, because I returned back to the person that I was born as, in that natural state of contentment and peace.
Yeah.
And truly was happier than I had ever been in my life, because I knew how to work with my mind. I knew how to work with the triggers and release the triggers of the anxiety, sadness, and everything else. So that is what inspired the journey. Of course, after that, I got all of the training in the brain in subconscious healing, cognitive behavior, neuroplasticity, neurolinguistic programming. Like I don't know if this is a Gemini thing, but I am someone who I need to learn everything and I want to know everything. Right now, I'm currently getting a doctorate in metaphysical sciences because why not? Right. So I did all of the training in the brain because I wanted to know why it worked, how it worked. And because I had, this is the most important part, because I had completely, what's the word when you, so I had this myth in my brain my entire life that because of my childhood, this is how I would always be.
Yeah.
And I had totally discredited that myth in my reality. I was no longer that person. And how did I go half of my life believing that I had no other choice?
Right.
And I know with the work that you do, that there's a lot of messaging that once you have been through, mm-hmm. you know, a narcissistic marriage, for example,
yeah.
that this is the outcome and it will always be this way.
Yeah.
Right. That there's not a lot of choice.
Yeah. I was just about to say that, because a lot of people feel, like you said, they're destined to be this way. They will always be, and the word I hear a lot is broken or damaged, and then they'll never heal.
I used to think I was broken. That was exactly the words that I had used. I thought I was broken because of my childhood and then my marriage. Mm-hmm. And what I want everyone who's listening to know is that you cannot break energy. You cannot break light. Like, you are light and it can't be broken.
Right.
So this entire journey that you're on is to remember the light that is you.
Right.
Right. And it might feel like a person can break you, but just because you feel it, just because you believe it, doesn't make it so. Right. A light can't be broken. That's how I always think of it.
Absolutely. And I love your story. That is such an amazing story. I'm so glad that you shared that with us. The theme that I kept hearing when you were talking about it is just this hopeful draw, and the draw to the things that you needed in your life and the things that were going to be what would take you in the direction that your life is right now. What about the subconscious mind? Like, where did that come from? Like, how were you drawn to the books and how did that come about? Because that's really interesting to me.
Mm-hmm. So you'll have to ask the universe how I was drawn to the books. 1,000,000%. I do not think that there are any mistakes. Okay. And I was meant to do the work that I'm doing today and to help the people that I am helping. And, you know, all of the clients that you help, you know, that ripple effect, mm-hmm. all by design, 100%. But in terms of why I did take a deep dive into the subconscious mind, because everything that I was learning showed me that 95% of how we feel and how we act and how we react, and therefore everything that shows up in our lives and how we're triggered and everything, is driven by the subconscious mind.
Yeah.
And what I had been doing up to that point of learning about the subconscious mind is I was doing all of the, now I want to say this with a caveat. I believe in everything that I'm going to list right now as a part of the recipe, but it's not the full ingredients. Do you know
yes,
what I mean?
I know.
It's a bad analogy. You're way better at analogies than I am, but you know what I mean? So I would do the meditation, the breath work, the energy work, walking. I did everything that everyone told me to do, to not be anxious, to not be depressed, to, and it all worked, but in a very temporary way. Like, weeks would go by and then I would feel like I just got slapped in the face with what had happened, right? All over again. So everything was temporary. And this is why it's temporary. All of that works on the conscious level of the brain. Mm-hmm. And it also works on the physiological response in the body. But if you have the same belief system that you may not even be aware of, those automatic thoughts running in the background, triggering these emotions in your body, if you're only working on the body and not getting to the source, right, it's going to be temporary.
Right.
Because, you know, let's say you're running every day and you're meditating every day and you're doing the breath work and the positive thinking and the affirmations and all the beautiful, great stuff tools that we have. If you're doing all those things, but you have the same subconscious belief that says you're not good enough, you're going to be alone forever, you're not strong enough, you'll never get over this, you're broken, you'll never heal, that's triggering responses in your body. So all the work that you're doing, you're taking two steps forward and three steps back. Mm-hmm. But when you get to the source of those physiological responses in the body, you get to the anxiety, you get to the source of all of those emotions, anger, guilt, regret, all of the emotions that so many women have. When you get to the source, then the rest of the stuff can really make an impact in the longer term, where it's not just temporary and it's lasting, because you're removing, I think of it like a weed, right? If you don't get the root of the weed, it's going to come back.
Right.
Right. So when you're doing the subconscious work, you're getting to the root, so the weed doesn't come back. You're not continuing to trigger the fight or flight response in your body.
That makes perfect sense.
With those automatic thoughts running in the background.
Mm-hmm.
So we have 60,000 to 70,000 automatic thoughts a day. And here's the thing, 80% of those were the same as yesterday and also negative.
Right?
Right. Our brain has been built to find problems for our survival. So imagine your brain is actually wired to look for issues in your life.
And that doesn't help us very much, does it?
And they're all on autopilot. Mm-hmm. Most of us don't even know what's running in the background looking for issues in our life. Because back in the day, the caveman days, we needed it. We needed our brain to show us, has the environment changed so I can go into fight or flight mode, so I can fight off the threat, or I can get out of there and mm-hmm. save myself, right? But we don't need it in today's society in the same way.
Yeah.
We certainly don't need it when we're standing up washing the dishes.
No, we're not running from a saber-toothed tiger anymore. Or
right, right. But our subconscious mind thinks we are.
Right.
Here's the thing. Your subconscious mind holds the memory of absolutely everything that has ever happened in your life. So you're standing there washing the dishes and an automatic thought comes in your mind that everyone leaves me. And then your body reacts as though it did the same way it did when someone actually did leave you. And your subconscious mind thinks it's happening today. And you're like, I'm just washing the dishes. Why do I feel like this? Why do I have this anxiety? Why do I have this pit in my stomach? Because your subconscious mind just dipped into the memory of what had happened over your lifetime. And it thinks it's happening today. So when you can do the subconscious healing to release the memories, it's not that you don't remember it, but mm-hmm. you release the memory on that cellular level. So it's not triggering the fight or flight response all of the time. Your life will change.
Well, and like you said, when you get to the source, then all of those other tools, all of those other healing types of work that you might do can actually support you more.
Yes.
They can actually be more beneficial to you versus feeling like you're constantly spinning your wheels and not getting anywhere. Once you get to the source, then those things help build onto what you're already doing for yourself and your mm-hmm. healing. Is that right?
It allows your body to truly heal then, mm-hmm. your mind and body to truly heal. Because what happens when you do all of the, I call it more like coping strategies
yeah.
and emotional coaching. Like, so for people who are coaches, I call it more symptomatic coaching. So you have this body reaction, that's the symptom. Let me help you with the symptom. So if I'm telling you self-care, I'm helping you with the symptom of the source, and the source is a subconscious mind. So what happens if you only work with the symptom? It's the same thing as having a cut on your hand and picking the scab. Mm. And it never fully heals, because every time the subconscious triggers, like dips into the memory of everything that's ever happened to you and triggers that fight or flight response, it's like picking the scab again. So your body, mind, energy, spirit never fully heals because it just keeps getting picked. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And I've had clients even tell me, it feels like I have a sore that just won't go away.
Yeah.
And that's a horrible thing to feel like, that you just have this thing that you don't know how to extract or to heal. Mm-hmm. And getting to the source, like you said, is where it's at. And then everything else follows. So mm-hmm. thank you for sharing that. That was really, really thorough. And I think our listeners are really going to appreciate that explanation. So I really want to talk about next the 4-step process or tool that you use, that I use with my clients, that is so life-changing and transformational. This 4-step process, I want to know how you came up with this process to help people.
Mm-hmm. How I came up with it is I lived it truly. And it's not just this black and white answer. Like I said, I did all the training in the brain to understand how it worked. But the core foundation of this process is that you just stop believing everything you think. Mm-hmm. Now, it's not as simple as in your mind, you say, oh, well, is that true? Or it's not positive thinking. It's not affirmations. It's not like, let's gaslight myself in order to convince myself my thoughts aren't true. Mm-hmm. What it actually is training your brain to weaken the neural pathways that create or that hold the painful or limiting thinking. You weaken those pathways and you strengthen the positive ones, the ones that have another possibility for you that's less painful. And it's based on neuroplasticity. We now know that your brain can change at any age, and we didn't always know that. And the way you change your brain is to actually show your brain other possibilities, so it loosens its grip on the neural pathways. So here's the simplest way to explain it. If you were taking a path through a grassy field every day, and you took the same path over and over, eventually you would wear a path down in the field, and it wouldn't even dawn on you to go in another direction to get across the field. You would go through the pathway that's worn down. This is what your brain is like. So if it has been repeating on the same pathway, the same neural pathway, I'm not good enough, I'm not good enough, I'm not good enough, it doesn't even dawn on you. It doesn't dawn on your brain to take another path that's less painful, which says I am good enough. So this four-step process is to actually bring into awareness what's running in the background on those pathways and showing your mind other possibilities, so it loosens its grip on the path it's taking, and then strengthens another path that's less painful or less limiting to you.
Yeah.
So the four steps is really bringing it into awareness and showing your mind other possibilities to discredit what is painful, and doing it all in a very relaxed state and on paper. So we're engaging the subconscious mind. So what a lot of people will do is do it consciously. So I'll have clients come to me and say, but I know I'm good enough. But when I ask them certain questions, it's like, oh, well, I believe this and I believe that. And it's clear that consciously they know they're good enough, but there's something else playing in the background. So we're getting to what's playing in the background, which is those neural pathways running on autopilot, telling you if you're good enough and strong enough, and if you're going to fail and people are going to leave you, and so many other things that we have, unfortunately, playing in the background, because this is how it works. This is how these neural pathways are created. From the time you were born, mostly by the time you're 8 or 9 years old, you have this programming. So life is happening and it plants a seed in your mind about your worthiness, your capabilities, about life, about whether or not you're lovable and everything else. All by the time you're 8 or 9, just based on a teacher looks at you sideways, a best friend doesn't show up or lies to you, your parent gets mad at you, you do a little dance and no one claps. All day long, every day, you're getting these messages because of where your brain is at that time, very impressionable. You're getting these beliefs that are seeds being planted in your mind. And then those seeds get reinforced over your lifetime and they take root as beliefs in your subconscious mind playing in the background. So the work that we're doing for subconscious healing is to bring all of that to awareness. Now, you're not digging up the past and having to relive it all. No, no, it's much easier, much quicker than that. You're just simply showing your mind what else is possible other than what has been playing in the background and hurting or limiting you.
Right.
It's so simple, way simpler than most of us have been made to believe is possible. I remember I had a client when I was doing divorce coaching, and she said, when I first listened to you talk about it, I thought this will never work for me. It's too simple. And when she started doing the work on paper, doing the four steps on paper, she came back to me, and it was maybe 2 or 3 months later, we had worked together, and she said it saved her life, that she was suicidal when we started working together, but she just didn't believe it would work for her because it was so simple.
Right.
And we just make it so complicated. But what makes it so complicated is the programming we have, that we have been given these messages that we are broken, right? Like, this is the thing. I have to say, it's probably the main reason why I started doing this work is because I didn't want people to continue to believe the messaging that I received and that they're receiving, that it is so difficult, that it takes so long, that, you know, I thought I needed a lobotomy. I did not think that I could ever be at peace without getting my brain cut out. Mm-hmm. I just thought I was wired in a certain way, and because of the childhood trauma and the things that happened to me, that I would never be at peace, that I could never be content and be present and in the moment, which is all BS. You know, I'm all of that now. Do things happen? Of course. But I know how to work with my brain to feel better. So the real reason why I got into this work was to say, listen, there's another possibility.
Right.
Even though you have been told your whole life that this is the way it needs to be, and this is who you are, and this is, you know, you have no other options. It's not true.
Yeah. And that's really important too, because like you had said, helping people see that what they've been programmed with isn't true necessarily. And I am, because I'm a mom, I, knowing this work now, I'm so careful about how I talk to my kids now, because I'm thinking, oh my gosh, like I thought I had a great childhood growing up. And because I've done a lot of this work myself, I've been able to look back and see the beliefs that I had been programmed with. And some of them were completely innocent. I don't think that they were ever done maliciously, but there were lots of things that made me into who I am, which really isn't who I am.
Yes.
Because it goes back to what you were saying, that, you know, get rid of all the stuff, get rid of all the stuff that's covering up the true authentic version of who you are. So it's really amazing too, that when you start doing it, how much more aware that you are, even the way you talk to other people and the things that you say and how you show up, because especially young people in our world, because they are so impressionable in that way.
Yeah. And I think even for everyone, I think being very careful about the message that we put out there of what's possible for people, you know, I think is really, really important. And, you know, I've had people say to me, well, if I don't believe all of this, if I release all of the programming, like, who will I be? Mm-hmm. Like, will I still care? Will I let people do whatever they want? I became more of who I am when I released the programming, because we all have this programming that tells us who we should be. Like, we have guilt and regret because of the messages that other people gave us about how we should feel and what we should do, right? So I became more loving because I wasn't loving based on society telling me, oh, well, an aunt does this and a mother does this and a sister does this and you should do this. No. Now when people are with me, they know they're with me because it's genuine and true. No obligation, no responsibility, no even religious thing behind it. It's like, oh, she just wants to be with me. So you become more of all of the greatness that's already in you, because it's the truest version of you. It's not the conditioned version of you, the person that everyone said you should be. And that's why I say you return to your light. Your light is that truest, greatest version, highest version of you that only you can feel, experience, and be fully if you don't have the conditioning in the way.
Yeah, I love that. That is so inspiring. And I'm so glad that you shared that. So because this tool that I use and the four-step process that all of your coaches are using, what do you feel like when you started this? What was your original vision for that? How did you think it was going to be? And how is it being used today? What, you know, like, what was your vision about how you wanted this to be used?
So just to be really honest, I had completely transformed my own life, like I already said, and I'm trying to figure out how to say this in a way that I just felt really called to share it with as many people as possible. So when I became a coach, it was for that reason. My vision was, me personally, I would help as many people as I could through a similar journey that I had been through by showing them what I had done. Like, that was my full and complete vision that at that time. And then I obviously couldn't work with everyone that needed my support in that way, because after I started doing this work, there were so many clients telling other people about me, and then, or the work, telling other people about the rapid reprogramming method, and then giving me testimonials and social proof. And everyone's like, wait, what did that person do? And what are they doing? And look at this message that's completely different than what I have heard. So when that time came, it was like, I can't possibly help as many people as I want to help. Mm-hmm. So that's when I decided to, you know, completely pivot in a very successful coaching business. I was fully booked all the time. I just completely pivoted and started over in coaching other people and training other people and certifying other people in the rapid reprogramming method. That's when I founded the ThoughtWork Institute. So it was completely dedicated to training other people to do rapid reprogramming as a coach, so we can have that ripple effect. Yeah. It really wasn't this, you know, I'm a bit of a minimalist. I only need money for incredible food and to make sure my dog's life is amazing, right? Like, okay, maybe travel a little bit, but like I'm a minimalist. I'm not tied to money in that way. And, but I am tied to freedom. But even when I started, it wasn't like, oh, my vision is that I have all of this freedom. My vision was like, I'm going to help this person and I'm going to help this person. I'm going to show them what I did. It truly was to send a different message that you're not broken. It doesn't have to be this way. You don't need a lobotomy. You're not defined by the trauma of either your divorce or your childhood or anything else in your life. You were born good enough. Nothing will ever change that. And we just need to take you on a journey so you remember it, period. Like, that's all it was for. That was all my vision was. Of course, it has evolved into much more than that. And I feel so blessed. And I still, to this day, like we in just in this moment, we have 31 coaches just in this moment being trained in rapid reprogramming. And still to this day, one client, like a coach will come to me and say, my client said this, and it still means everything. And the very reason why I get up in the morning.
Yeah, that's amazing. Still. That's amazing. And I love that the vision was just so simple. It was just literally to help people with lead with a genuine desire to show people that they don't have to be in this feeling of, you know, destined to be, sad or depressed or broken or traumatized forever. Yeah. And that's the reality, is when you get to the source and when you do this work, you change, and it is transformational. I live it, you live it, you embody it. I know completely. So I love that. So thank you for sharing that.
And I just wanted to add to that. A real driving force behind doing this work is that I have always believed that no pain should ever go to waste. And that if I had been on a very painful journey, had that dark night of the soul, I didn't know I would survive. And then I had come out the other end, a completely different person who happened to be the person I was born as, mm-hmm. that if I didn't do something with that, like I left a very high level, over 6-figure job, cushiony, I could work from home. I traveled all over Canada, worked for one of the top employers, did whatever I wanted. I was responsible for over 10,000 employees. I left it all and moved to my basement so I could afford to do this work. I rented my upstairs, and thankfully I'm back into my house. But at the time, I left it all in order to make sure my pain didn't go to waste. My transformation didn't go to waste, because this is what I think it would mean. That the universe had given me the gift of pain so I could transform, because we only transform through pain. We don't transform when life is mediocre. Mm-hmm. Like, pain is our greatest gift. And I know I'm probably going to upset some people by saying that, but when you think about the times that you have grown the most, become the most compassionate, right? Have learned the most and become the highest version of you, it is after you have been through something. Yeah. Am I saying pain is good? No. Am I saying that we deserve it or we should have it? Absolutely not. But what I'm saying is the gift of what can happen, that's the part that's the greatest gift. The possibility in the pain, I should say. Yeah. Pain is not the gift, but the possibility in the pain is the gift. And I truly felt that had I just been through that unbelievable hellish journey and not helped people with it, it would be like saying, thank you, universe, for giving me the possibility and the pain, but I'm doing nothing with it. It would be like a slap in the face to the universe who had given me the gift, because I don't think there are any mistakes. And I always have a choice with what I do, right? I always have a choice how I react and respond and what I do next. And I didn't want to slap the universe in the face and say, thanks for the greatest learning gift transformation of my life. I'm just going to keep it here. It wasn't an easy road, right? Any of it, not only the painful stuff, but creating the coaching business, creating the rapid reprogramming method, moving to the basement and giving up everything. And my family going, what are you crazy? And, you know, doing all, it wasn't, but it was 1,000,000% worth it. And how could I not? Mm-hmm. That's what I always think. How can I not? And that's what I say to the coaches inside of the Institute now, as you know, when you're feeling fear and you're saying, who am I to do this? And I always say, you should be asking, who are you not to do this? How could you not do this when you have transformed?
Yeah. That's so profound, because I'm sitting here thinking as you're talking about how, if we experienced some sort of pain, which we all have at some point in our lives, and you kept saying we have a choice. What if we could look at that negative, painful experience and turn it into something good? Mm-hmm. What if we could do that? If instead of just saying, well, this is my circumstance and this is what horrible thing happened to me, what if we could turn it into something beautiful and create that ripple effect and help other people?
Mm, it's powerful.
It's a different mindset.
Yeah.
So, well, thank you. That's amazing. So a couple more questions, because I know I don't want to take up all of your time, because I know you're a very busy person, but I would love for you to answer to our listeners, if you could, what would you say to people or anyone who are skeptical or concerned that this might not work for them? Because you had mentioned that before about that client that you had. What would you say to people like that?
Well, I think obviously the proof is in the pudding. Is that a saying everywhere? Okay, it's not just it. Well, where I live, we have these sayings that I don't always know if it's just us or is it across Canada and the United States mm-hmm. and everywhere else. Okay. So, you know, obviously there are so many testimonials with this methodology. And I think that's helpful for people to see real life people who have been through the methodology, been through the program, whose life has changed. That's the first thing. The second thing is, part of that trepidation is, if we've tried other things in the past that hasn't worked, it reinforces the programming that we're broken. Mm-hmm. So in order to, like, if you have a belief that limits you from doing any kind of healing work, the act of doing it, experiencing it, is truly the only way to change that belief. You know, I can't say any words to your listeners to convince them that either they're not broken or that this will work for them or something else will work for them. I can't, because the only thing that changes anything inside of them, this is what makes a great coach, as you know, mm-hmm. is them coming to the realizations themselves. And the best way to do that is to actually do it and experience it.
Right.
And I always say, what do you have to lose? Mm-hmm. Right. If you're spending time in angst and sadness and anxiety, fear, all of the emotions, that's time that's passing anyway. If you're taking that time to attempt a methodology that can get you out of that pain or limitation, what is it that you really have to lose? Because you're spending that time in a certain way anyway. This comes down to the choice of how you're spending the time.
Right. Yeah, that's really important. And, you know, I think a lot of times it boils down to values and where they place themselves on the values list, and if they believe it's actually going to work for them or if they deserve it. So there's a lot of that. And, you know, in my podcast, I really try to help people see that value in themselves. And
I will say, when I started doing this work for myself, I started with how I felt about myself and releasing the programming that said I wasn't worth it and that I wasn't good enough. And I did it first because as soon as I loved myself and really knew I was worthy of the best life possible, I deserve to be at peace and content. As soon as I knew that, it was easy for me to commit the time to do subconscious healing, right? Yeah. Because it's like, oh, well, of course, you deserve the best of everything. And then it's easier for me to go hiking. It's easier for me to quit my job and do a job that fulfills me. And it's easier for me to move across the country so I'm by the ocean, because I love myself. And like, there's going to be people listening right now that cringes at a woman admitting that they love themselves, mm-hmm. because we have been conditioned to believe, well, that's conceited and it's pompous and it's selfish.
Yeah.
No, because I love me, I can love you more. Because I know my light, I know your light. So it's the most selfless I've ever been, because a loving me allows me to love so much deeper everybody else and all of the experiences and why we're meant to be here. But rather than go on a tangent, I will finish by saying, when you love you, you commit to you. And when you commit to you, it's so much easier to heal and to be happier. But it has to begin with knowing that you're worthy.
Yeah, because when I'm hearing you say, and things that I've heard you say, and that I know, that our actions are driven by our beliefs, that what we believe and how we think impacts whether we're willing to take those actions to do things that mm-hmm. are for our greatest good or not. You know, in some cases, people choose to do things that harm them because they have limiting beliefs or beliefs that keep them in that frame of mind as well. So
100%. Yeah.
Great. So what do you think is the biggest differentiator between this particular methodology and other types of healing methodologies, therapies, and things like that?
The biggest thing, and you know, I'm not going to compare it specifically to any one modality like therapy. Everything has its place in our journey for different people, for different reasons, in different ways. So I'll just speak to why rapid reprogramming is different than any healing modality that I have experienced myself. And I had tried just about everything to be okay over my lifetime, the first half of my life. And that is, like we already talked about, it gets to the source of your limitations. It gets to the source of your pain. So it's not symptomatic coaching. It's not symptomatic healing. It's subconscious healing. The subconscious drives 95% of how we're feeling and thinking, reacting, and therefore the results that we have in our life. So this is why it's different. We're getting to the source. The other thing is, it's not like talk therapy. It's not like energy work, which I love. And, you know, I love breath work and all the physiological work to help calm the fight or flight response. I love all of that, but it's not like that, because it's what comes before the fight or flight, mm-hmm. right? It's healing that memory bank that's triggering the physiological responses in the body. And that's why it's so different. And the coaching that I teach inside of the Institute for Rapid Reprogramming is really brain training. My coaches are facilitators of this brain training, so you can change the neural pathways in your brain. It's not hypnotherapy. It's not affirmations. It's not positive thinking. It's, like I said earlier, actually changing the neural pathways that hold the triggers
right.
of your painful emotions or your limiting emotions and your limiting behaviors. And that's why it's different. It gets to the source.
Yeah. So weakening those painful
or limiting
through the brain training
yes.
so that then you can strengthen ones that aren't as painful to get yeah. you out of that.
Yeah. And I also say limiting because we, you know, this is for anyone at any time that wants to change how they feel or wants to change how they behave. So it's not for only people going through pain. It's for people like I do subconscious healing for coaches. It's for people who maybe they have money stories. Mm-hmm. Maybe they don't want to put themselves out there and they feel some imposter syndrome. It's not only about pain. It's about anything that's yeah. holding you back from having your greatest life and your the highest version of you.
Yeah. I love that because I've used it for so many things personally for my life. That didn't have to do with, you know, emotional pain necessarily, but maybe wanting to feel more powerful in a situation and have more confidence or mm-hmm. there's everything. Just, it's yeah. limitless. There's literally so many things that you can use it for anything. Yeah. Great. Well, thank you. So was there anything you had any final thoughts on before we wrap up? I just wanted to ask that one last question.
I guess I will reiterate because I do think it's the most important message, which is that you are not broken, mm-hmm. right? There's nothing wrong with you. It is simply programming. Like we've all been programmed from the time we were born till we're 8 or 9 years old that got reinforced. That's now being triggered. And this is for all of us. And when you really understand that you are light, you're just light experiencing life. And your journey is to return to that light that is naturally at peace and content. And this isn't a religious thing. It is an energy, spiritual, you know, this has been proven, right? That we are made of that light. Yeah. So I guess I always want to remind people that you are that beautiful light and you just need to remove the layers of programming, the messages, you know, of other people, of society, of life that's happened to you up to this point. You remove the layers of messaging, that conditioning and programming, so you can tap in to that version of you, which was naturally more at peace and more content. So if you're listening and you're feeling like hopeless or that you're broken and nothing will help you feel differently, I want you to know that is not true. And just because you believe it doesn't make it so. In fact, if you believe something else and you choose to believe something different, then you actually can make it so. So I would just ask people to really reflect on that and question it. Yeah. What is possible for me? What have I been telling myself about my journey and my journey of healing? And what is actually possible? Is there another possibility? Can I just consider something? Even that, every single day, saying to yourself what else is possible can start to train your brain to look for possibilities other than the pathways it has been on.
Yeah, that's so important. And thank you for those reminders. I even ask my clients sometimes to put post-it notes up, like what else is possible or what else could it mean, in a place where they can see it every morning, because that reminder of constantly questioning the thoughts that are coming up will really be so pivotal to moving yourself from one place to the next, where you don't want to be to where you do want to be. So yeah, that's a great reminder.
And I would add to that, because, you know, I could talk with this forever and go really, really deep into this, but I would add to that, to think about what you were surrounding yourself by. Mm-hmm. All of my clients, when I was a divorce coach, when I first started, I asked them to get out of my group and get out of everybody else's group on Facebook. Mm-hmm. So you've got to think about, are you giving your mind messages through your friends, your family, people on Facebook that are going through difficult times? What messages are you feeding your brain every day? Does it reinforce the thoughts that create the pain and limitation? Or does it expose your brain to another possibility? That there is, like, you listening to this episode today, where I'm talking about there being another possibility, about my own transformation, about the hundreds of people that I have worked with that have been transformed through rapid reprogramming, that alone, your brain goes, wait now, something else is possible. So imagine if you're exposing yourself to other possibilities, that is opening your brain, and you'll start to see more, because the way the brain works, it filters your life through what you currently believe. So if you believe you are broken, if you believe you cannot heal, if you believe you cannot feel better, do different, succeed, whatever it is, your mind will show you only proof of that, right? This isn't magic. It's brain science. It filters in based on what it is that you currently believe. So as soon as you show it other possibilities, like, I can feel better, I can do better, I can heal, I'm not broken, it'll start to show you some more. You know, all of a sudden you see another podcast or you see a note on Facebook and you're like, wait, this person is saying this is possible too. But until you change the filter through which you see life, which is your current belief system, you will not see anything different.
Yeah, that's so, so amazing and important, because there is so many things out there that are continuing to program us. There are, like you said, the Facebook groups and this, you know, the social media and what we watch on TV, what we listen to, all of that stuff. You know, we have to start looking at things in a different way and through a different lens. And we can choose to do those things very easily and very simply. So, yes. Well, yeah. Okay. So last question I have for you, this is just a fun question. Tell us something about yourself that not a lot of people know or that might surprise them.
Well, anyone who's in my life, like my immediate family, would all know this about me. But I think a couple of things would be, I don't often show my humor, and I'm genuinely really funny. You might see it on occasion, I hope. But, you know, I have been told, and I kind of actually believe that I'm kind of funny. I know, really funny. My family is crazy funny. Like, I don't even watch sitcoms because my family is so funny that they set the bar so high.
That's
like,
so funny.
Like, even our kids, like all the nieces and nephews, like, they're so witty and so funny. Anyway, but the thing that it really comes to mind that I think people will be surprised about, because I talk about light and love and energy and positive and peace. I think people would be surprised that I have a little bit of an obsession with Halloween.
Really?
Yeah. So you're surprised.
I'm surprised. I didn't know.
Yeah. So because people think Halloween is dark and scary you know, all the paranormal stuff. But the reason why I love Halloween is a lot of adults get dressed up just once a year to step out of their box, and they laugh and they have fun and they let the guard down, and the programming means nothing because they get permission, right, to be silly and to dress up and have fun. Like, I love that. And also, in at least in North America, of course, I'm not going to speak for outside of North America, even kids who can't, like, for Christmas, I feel like there's a gap between what children get in different households. Mm-hmm. But with Halloween, like, you could put a pillowcase on you and you can get candy no matter what.
Yeah.
So the possibility of kids being very happy at Halloween also makes me really happy. So Halloween is my favorite, other than my birthday, day of the year. And I think people will be surprised by that. I have a haunted house in my house every year, just for my family. Like, there's like 6-7 people that come, but it's like a big deal. But my dream, which I am working towards all the time, is I want to have the best haunted house in Canada that people actually fly, because it's so good, they fly to come, and it's all by donation. And then all of the money that we make, we go and buy Christmas gifts for kids who can't get gifts. And then we just distribute them between November and December 20th. Like, this is my dream. This is all I want to do. This is what I think about all the time.
Like a scary haunted
house? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Other than rapid reprogramming, this is my other thing I think about a lot. Oh, yeah. So it's not a kid's haunted house, which I probably should do, because that would be nice too. But it is, like, I went to Universal Studios, the haunted houses, and they have 9 based on movie things. My sister and I went, and I thought it was like the greatest thing that ever happened. And she's like, so scared. Of course she loved it too, but she was really, really scared. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm talking that level, like, people want to fly to see it and experience it, but it's by donation, and all of the money, like, every cent goes to, like, I want to have actors that volunteer to come in to do the stuff. And then they, we take the money and buy gifts for kids. Like, this is my biggest dream.
I love that. That is so fun. And I would have never, ever thought that about you. So thanks for sharing that.
Yeah. I dress up every year, and I have already started doing the research.
Oh my God.
Doing the research. No, but not looking for costume, because I create it myself. Oh. Like, do all the makeup and the prosthetics, and like, do all of the different. Yeah.
That's so fun. I love that. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah.
All right. So thanks for being here. I want you to tell everyone where they can find you if they want to get in touch with you. Where are you at on social media, your website, anything you want to share?
Sure. The best place is probably on Instagram, which is, if you search the ThoughtWork Institute, thought_work_institute. I never thought that through at all, that I would have to talk about it when I set that up. So Instagram, and on Facebook, it's the Abundant Coach Collective, if you want to join my group there. And the website is thethoughtworkinstitute.com.
Great. And I will include all of that information on the show notes at the bottom if you want to get in touch with Diana. So thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Alrighty. Okay. Have a great one.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye. Thank you for being here with me today in the Emotional Abuse Recovery Podcast. I hope you found value here with me. If this podcast episode was helpful to you, I'd love for you to hit subscribe and leave me a review. My goal is to help you go from feeling stuck to set free. You can find me on Instagram and Facebook, and you can check out whentearsleavescars.com for more resources and information to help you with your own emotional abuse recovery. Until next time, here's to believing in